This morning we'd like you to turn with us to Luke 11, and let's begin with verse 1. And it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so, the subject is prayer. The disciples have been watching Jesus, and they realized what an important part prayer was in his life. They realized that he prayed before every major decision. Luke tells us that as he was praying, the Spirit came upon him after his baptism. Luke tells us that as he was praying, he was transfigured before the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke tells us that he spent the night in prayer before choosing 12 of the disciples to be called the apostles. And all the way through, we find Jesus engaged in prayer, a man of prayer. And so here on another occasion, as Jesus was with his disciples praying, when he was finished praying, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples. No doubt, the awareness that prayer should take a more important place in their lives, even as it was in the life of Jesus. So Jesus, first of all, gave to them the model prayer. And this is, of course, very similar to what is known as the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus gives a basic model for prayer, not one that should be recited necessarily by rote, but just the main essence and ingredients for prayer are here. And first of all, and perhaps one of the most important things in prayer is the proper address. When I am praying, who am I addressing my prayer to? Jesus said, when you pray, this is the address for your prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I believe that many times prayers are addressed to people. I've had people pray and I felt that their prayers were more or less addressed to me. They were trying to convince me of a certain thing, and so they, you know, in their prayer gave all of the major points and why I should adhere and follow to the things that were being said. And I felt that, you know, that's sort of a directed prayer towards me. I don't think it was really directed to God. Many prayers have a very impersonal address. O gracious, kind, eternal Spirit that fills the universe. You know, and it's sort of an impersonal kind of an address on the prayer. But Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or sacred and holy is your name. The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. And prayer so often is just running into the name, finding the safety and the refuge and the strength that comes when we seek the Lord and we come unto Him. When we truly recognize the greatness, the glory, the wonder of the God that we serve, and to realize that through Jesus I have a relationship, because relationship is necessary for prayer. And I can say, Father, in heaven. And so the address of the prayer, he begins with that, but then prayer is petition. Prayer is asking. It is seeking God's help or God's strength or God's assistance. And so going from the address, prayer moves into petition. But note that the first petition that is made is not concerning my own needs, but it is concerning the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so also in earth. In other words, as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the other things will be taken care of. They'll be added to you. So the first thing in prayer is that seeking for the kingdom of God to be brought to the earth, that God's will might be done here even as it is in heaven, which is an acknowledgement that we are living in a world that is in rebellion against God. As we see and hear of the sorrow, the pain, the suffering, the wars, the atrocities, these things all are the result of man rebelling against his Creator. It is interesting that the things that are so often touted and advertised and we are being motivated towards in the TV are very things that God has forbidden. It is a world that's rebelling against the law of God, against the rules that God established, and the anarchy and the chaos that we see in our society results from that rebellion. Now, as we see the pain and the suffering that is going on, so many times from our heart there comes that cry, O Lord, thy kingdom come. Lord, bring the world in obedience unto your will. Establish, Lord, your kingdom. Tired of all of the pain, tired of the killings, tired, Lord, of the chaos that we find our society in. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I think every time I watch news on television, I pray that. Every time I read the morning paper, I find myself praying, Lord, thy kingdom come. Hurry, Lord, hasten the day that you establish your kingdom. You put down the rebellion of man, and you might reign, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives and in our cities. And then we petition for our personal needs. After seeking first the kingdom and praying for his kingdom to come, then the petition turns to my own needs, my physical needs. And that is, give us this day our daily bread. Bread is necessary for the sustenance of your physical well-being. And thus, to take care of your physical needs is not wrong. And it is not wrong to ask God for these personal petitions. But I also have spiritual needs, and that great spiritual need is the forgiveness of my sins. Actually, that exceeds my physical needs. My need of forgiveness is paramount. And so not only am I interested in my physical needs, but also my spiritual needs. Forgive us our sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, Lord, from evil. And so prayer moves from the address to the petition for the kingdom of God, and finally, for our own needs. Now, Jesus then gives to them a story which seems to illustrate the need for persistence in prayer. But that's to misunderstand the thrust of the story. The situation is this. You have a guest that has come to your home at midnight, and you don't have anything to set before him on the table. In the Eastern culture, being a gracious host was of prime importance. And no matter when a guest might come, the first thing you would do is set him down at the table and prepare him something to eat. It's midnight. The kids ate up all the bread with peanut butter sandwiches after dinner. You have nothing to serve your guest. But you have a friend who lives next door. And so you go over to his house and you knock on the door. He calls out from the darkness, "Who is it?" You say, "It's me, Joe, your neighbor." "What do you want at this time of the night?" "Hey man, I ran out of bread and I have company that's come over. Could you give me some bread so I can entertain them and feed them?" "Go home, man. Don't you know what time it is?" "Hey, I need it, man. Help me out." "Oh, the kids are already in bed asleep with me, and if I get up, it'll disturb them, and I'll never get them back to sleep." "Go away." You just keep knocking. "Hey, please. I'm desperate." And so the Lord says that because of your shameful persistence, not because he's your friend, in fact, you may not have a friend after this, but because of your shameful persistence, he will get up and give you all that you need just to get rid of you, just to get out of here, you know. And so, illustrating the place of persistence in prayer, but not in prayer to God. So often, the parables or the stories or the illustrations are to give contrast so that the truth is discovered in the contrast. For instance, there is another parable that Jesus gave in regards to prayer that also seemed to indicate that it was important that we be persistent in prayer, and often interpreted that way. But yet, if you read the whole application that Jesus makes, you find that that is not the case. There was, Jesus said, this unjust judge who feared not God, neither did he regard any man. He was a tough, crusty old fellow, could care less about anything or anybody. And daily there was this little widow who would come into his court and sit there demanding that he avenge her enemies, that he give justice to her. And every day when court would open, here's this little gal sitting there. So finally he says, "Though I don't fear God or regard man, this little gal's going to drive me crazy. So I'm going to give her the judgment she is desiring, lest she just drive me crazy." And so he makes judgment in her favor. Now, that isn't the point of the story. Jesus then went on to say, and the idea is, if an unjust, crusty old judge can be moved by persistence, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those that ask of him speedily? In other words, he's contrasting this old guy that doesn't care for anybody with God, who does care and is very, very concerned with you. And so how much more will God, who loves you and is concerned with your every need, speedily avenge, take care of your needs as you call unto him? And so with this, If a man, even for friendship, but for persistence, will give in, how much more your Father will give to you when you ask? And that's exactly what Jesus then said. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So it's giving prayer as petition. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to be persistent. Just ask, and you will receive. Just seek, and you will find. Just knock, and it will be open. And then Jesus went on into another illustration. And he said, if a son shall ask bread from any of you who is a father, will you for bread give him a stone? Now, let's go back. In the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The man was seeking from his neighbor bread. That staff of life, that which is necessary to sustain life. And now here is a son asking his father for bread, that which is necessary to sustain his life. Now, will his father give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And these things are unthinkable. You say, of course not. It's a father's duty to provide for the physical needs of his children. And if a child is asking for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. Of course not. Then again, the contrast. If you earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask him? So it's the contrast, you see. It's saying that if you, earthly fathers, provide for the needs of your children, when they ask and they come in and ask for a piece of bread, how much more, the contrast, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Food is essential for our physical well-being. The Holy Spirit is essential for our spiritual well-being. And our heavenly Father will provide for us the Holy Spirit to sustain our spiritual life. Now, Jesus said to his disciples that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That power to be a witness for Jesus. Now, witnessing is something that you are more than something that you do. You witness more by your life than you do by your words. Many times what you have said to people as far as a witness is totally disallowed because of what you are, because of your life. Your life is not a witness of the things that you say, and thus you're accused of hypocrisy because you say one thing but you live another. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit is to help you to live the life. And as you live the life, then your life becomes a witness. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, we with open faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being changed from glory to glory into the same image by his Spirit that dwelleth in us. And then, of course, writing to the Ephesians, he tells us that the purpose of God is that we might come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, that we might become spiritually matured. We come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And the glorious thing is, Jesus is teaching us that our Father, knowing our need, when we come to Him and we ask for the Holy Spirit, is not going to give us a stone. He knows that we need the Spirit, and thus all we have to do is ask, and He will give to us of His Spirit. Now, this particular scripture is being misapplied today in a very gross manner. And I want to warn you of this misapplication, because in some circles there is some very bizarre phenomena that is taking place. People making animal noises, barking like dogs and cackling like hens, engaged in uncontrolled laughter, being pinned to the floor, or acting as though they are inebriated. And they say that it is manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And they use the scripture, if you ask for bread, He will not give to you a stone. But let me point out that these people are not asking for the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? They're not asking for the Holy Spirit. They're not seeking for the Holy Spirit, but they are seeking for some kind of spiritual phenomena. And that's what they're seeking after, the experiences, rather than seeking after and asking for the Holy Spirit. But they try to validate the bizarre actions by using this verse. Paul tells us that when we have become matured in the Word of God, that we will no longer be as babes who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and slight cunning of men who lie in wait to deceive. And let me say that as a pastor, it's very comforting for me. As John said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. It's a great comfort to me that you are spiritually mature enough that you're not carried about with these winds of doctrine and slight cunning of men. It's a blessing to know that you're not being deceived by these false prophets whose chief goal is to get into your pocketbook in order that they might line their own pockets with the dollars from the gullible babes. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make me like Jesus. Conform me into the image of Jesus Christ. And for the life of me, I cannot picture Jesus going around acting as though He was inebriated and speaking with slurry speech. For the life of me, I cannot picture Jesus barking like a dog or cackling like a hen. I cannot picture Jesus lying pinned to the floor or just engaged in uncontrollable laughter. Somehow, it just doesn't fit the picture of Jesus that I have in my mind. As I see Jesus, He's filled with love and compassion. He is kind. He is merciful. He is forgiving. And when I am filled with the Spirit and being conformed to the image of Christ, that will be the sign. My love, the graciousness, the mercy that I show, the goodness that comes forth from my life, and not some untoward type of manifestation that draws a lot of attention to me. But God's love that points men to Him. So the real issue is this. We all of us need the Holy Spirit. For our spiritual sustenance and growth, we might be conformed into the image of Jesus. Your Father knows your need. And if you will ask, you will receive. You don't have to beg. If you seek, you will find. And if you knock, He'll open the door for you and give you all that you might need, because He is a loving Father concerned with the needs of His children. So we pray, Father, thank You that You are so gracious and kind and merciful to us, and that You have made us Your children through our faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, our desire is to have less of self and more of Thee. And so, Lord, we ask You for Your Holy Spirit. Come upon our lives afresh and anew. Fill us, Lord, that we might be like Jesus in our actions and in our attitudes. In His name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And we pray that this week as you go forth, that you will experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that you will shine as a light in this dark world, and that through your life, Jesus might be seen by others, that your life will be a true witness of Him, even as He was a true and faithful witness of the Father. So may you be His true and faithful witnesses. And may this week be blessed as you walk in fellowship with Him. In Jesus' name.